Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, here's an intriguing prospect. Could 12 to 15-year-olds here be in line for the Pfizer COVID vaccine within months? The European Medicines Agency are actively considering approval of the jab for older children. And in the US, the FDA approved it yesterday. So how important is it to vaccinate children against COVID-19? Given that they tend to experience milder symptoms. To discuss this, I'm joined by Dr. Beth Brint, who's an immunologist at UCC. Dr. Brint, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
Remind us of the quite significant developments in the last day or so.
Yeah, this is exciting, isn't it? So the FDA in the US have reviewed recent data produced by Pfizer, where they have trialed their Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine that we all know about now. It's this messenger RNA vaccine. And they've trialed it in an adolescent population, and they made those results available to the FDA looking for approval of their vaccine in that younger cohort. So that trial went well for them. So they had about just under 2,500 adolescents, and they gave half of them the vaccine and then half of them a placebo. And they saw no COVID infection in the vaccine-treated group and about 18 cases of COVID in the placebo-treated group. So looking on those numbers as being 100% effective in that cohort.
Wow.
So that's great.
And am I right in saying that children experience the milder symptoms of COVID-19? Is there a question as to whether they should be vaccinated at all if that is the case?
So it's all about achieving herd immunity, Cormac. That's what we like. That's what we immunologists like to talk about, and of course, infectious disease people as well. So what we're looking to do is try and protect, it's this phrase, herd immunity, where you're trying to protect a really significant number of the population. You're trying to instill this immune response in this large number of the population such that the virus can't spread. So we know that, yes, you're absolutely right, adolescents experience milder disease, although it's worth noting that some of them, there's been a number of cases of long COVID in adolescents. So that's interesting and needs more research done on it. But despite the fact they get these less severe symptoms, it's about making sure that the virus can't get through the population. So in effect, what you want to do with herd immunity is build a wall. So you're trying to build a wall of vaccinated people so that the virus can't get through. And that means that the people who can't get vaccinated, such as the immunocompromised or people on cancer therapy, will also be protected.
Okay, so even if children don't get mild symptoms predominantly themselves, they're getting vaccinated to protect maybe more vulnerable people in society, isn't that it? I mean, do you expect then that the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, on foot of what the FDA have done yesterday, that the EMA will approve this vaccine for children here as well?
So I hope so. The EMA, I know, are actively looking at the data. So Pfizer have submitted this new trial data to the EMA for approval as well. And the EMA started reviewing that data earlier in May, so about a week ago. And I guess we're going to see this probably accelerated because it's still the same vaccine, right? We're just looking at it in a different cohort. And so far, the results are very promising.
What is the situation here, Beth, at the moment when it comes to children? It's licensed for the Pfizer vaccine that we have. It's licensed for children age 16 and over, isn't that right?
16 and over, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's the same across Europe now. So that's the EMA recommendation as it currently stands.
Okay.
So this would just be approving it in that younger cohort. And then, of course, if we're, you know, as we push on to try and achieve herd immunity, we might see it going down below the 12s as well, but that's for the future.
Really? Wow. And you've explained already to me why it's important that children, even as young as 12, get vaccinated. It's for herd immunity and it's to protect more vulnerable people.
Yeah.
Is there any fear, though, that as we go down in the ages, that people won't bother getting vaccinated because my Johnny or my Lucy will only get a mild dose if they get it at all, and sure, most people are vaccinated anyway. Is there that logic? Could that take hold?
Well, let's hope not. I think that's probably important. I guess it's our job. It's our job in my area, and also anybody associated with any of this campaign, to really explain the importance of herd immunity and how we need between 70 and 85% of the population to be vaccinated to achieve this level of immunity in the population, such that we can go back to normal. So it's about the kids going back to normal as well. Let's not forget that the adolescents have been so severely impacted by the shutdowns, and allowing them to go back to normal social interactions and their sports and their hanging out in all circumstances, so that'll help them in this context. But vaccinating children is really a way for all of us to go back to normal, okay? So because it'll get up to this herd immunity level. So let's hope we can explain it effectively enough that people understand why it's important to vaccinate the younger cohorts.
And how people crave normality, isn't that right? Beth, can I ask you about another age cohort who might think they're still 15 or 16? And this is the under 50s, people in their 30s and 40s, like myself. Because we're still waiting NIAC's advice, aren't we, on the use of AstraZeneca and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for people under 50. Now, how important do you think it is for the efficiency of the rollout that would be allowed?
So I guess we're waiting to hear on where NIAC are going to position themselves on this. It's an interesting one in a European context at the moment, with countries taking quite varying decisions. So Denmark announced the other day that they're not going to administer the Johnson & Johnson or the AstraZeneca at all anymore. And at the same time, Germany have now announced that any adult who wishes to can receive the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So it'll be interesting to see where we fall. It was also interesting to hear the Taoiseach today coming out and saying that he would be in favour of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine being administered to the under 50s. So we'll wait and see where the NIAC decision comes in and where that decision goes to.
Yeah, we're still waiting and seeing, aren't we, in terms of antigen tests as well, aren't we? And the possible use of them, because there's been some mixed messaging. And where do you stand on all of that and how they could be used?
So I'm very in favour of antigen testing. So antigen testing there's been a lot of interesting comments about antigen testing this week from prominent public health members.
You diplomat.
So antigen testing it's an excellent addition to our armoury, to our arsenal in fighting this disease. You know, testing has always been at the heart of controlling the spread of COVID-19. And it's something that, you know, it took us a while to get good at. This is another way of testing it. Yes, it has drawbacks. So it's not as sensitive as the PCR test, but it is an awful lot quicker. And it detects people when they are at the height of their infectivity and when they may be asymptomatic. Antigen testing is really all about detecting asymptomatic people. And they're going to be very infective if it's picked up with an antigen test, because it'll be at their height of their viral load.
Okay.
So it's about teaching people how to use these tests cleverly and correctly and effectively. So I think we need to really kind of up our game there. It's
okay.
Also in my context about getting people back into universities. You know, that's where we want to see people back in lecture halls, and this would be very useful.
Well, Beth, that is the case for the rapid antigen test. You're an effective advocate, I must say, and possibly a career as a future diplomat as well. But for the for the moment, Dr. Beth Brent, immunologist at UCC. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.